Hello, I'm Stephen Goodwin. It's Tuesday, the 18th of September, and welcome to episode number 2 of The Beer Crate, the podcast for ale lovers of the world over. Each week we'll be looking at the world of beer and brewing, investigating local, national, and international breweries, and of course, tasting a wide selection of beers, ales, and ciders. Lagerboys need not apply. Coming up on today's show, we have news, feedback, the drinker's diary, a discussion on the German purity law, a short history of Young's Brewery, quick tastings, and our try before you die section. So, let's get cracking. News. And as we reported last week, the national toast in memory of Michael Jackson has been finalised for Sunday, September the 30th. This will take place at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time, and 2 a.m. Monday morning Greenwich Mean Time. There is, however, an 8 p.m. toast on September the 30th at the Wenlock Arms, Wenlock Road, London. The smoking ban is being blamed for lost beer sales, according to market researchers AC Nielsen. This in turn will lead to fewer pubs. When the ban was first brought in, it seemed likely that sales would increase due to the return of non-smokers, but this report is saying different. Only time will tell. Master's Brewery is up for sale. This microbrewery in the West Country is actually portable, and comes with the necessary hardware, plus recipes and tuition from the owner. There's no indication of the asking price, but if you'd like to try your hand at being a brewer, this may be an easy way into it. We'll add the web address into the show notes. And Wetherspoons is opening a new pub, the Kettleby Cross in Melton Mowbray. That should be open on the 24th September. And now on to feedback. Victor from London writes and says, "Is the Michael Jackson that writes the beer books the same Michael Jackson that writes the whiskey books?" The answer is, most probably, definitely yes. Writing from Australia, the Reverend Simon Rumble directed me to a cartoon strip from the comic Viz. This is entitled The Beer, how shall we say, Twits? I'll put up a link to this cartoon on the website. Very funny, and I really hope I'm not like that. And finally, Pete from London says, in response to our Belgium-themed podcast last week, "You must find a bottle of Bellevue and review it. Gorgeous Belgian cherry beer, but not one of those with the sickly, overpowering taste. Absolutely wonderful stuff. Staggeringly refreshing. I'm really not kidding. I almost fell over the first time I tasted it. It's so good." Well, Pete, it sounds like you've already reviewed it for me. Drinker's Diary. And with the St. Albans Beer Festival looming ever closer, there's another festival just north of London. This is from Wednesday the 3rd to Saturday the 6th of October, and is in Bedford, for the Bedford Beer and Cider Festival. Also, for those that like travelling a little further, there's still time to get a cheap last-minute flight out to Munich for Oktoberfest. This takes place every year, and begins this year on Saturday, September the 22nd. It begins at noon, where the Lord Mayor of Munich will open the first beer keg. The festival runs until October the 7th. The German Purity Law, or Reinheitsgebot, as I hope it's pronounced. This is essentially cleanliness, or purity, and it's about the standards necessary for brewing and selling beer. It was suggested in 1487, but didn't make law until 1561 in Bavaria. This was not the first instance of such a law, as in Nuremberg in 1290, oats, wheat, rye, and dinkel were banned in the brewing process. However, its purpose was to ensure that cereals could be used in brewing, as well as in bread, and as such was an economic choice. This makes the purity law the oldest food law. So, what does it entail? It indicates the price at which all beer must be sold, and the only ingredients that can be used in its production, namely water, barley, and hops. Yeast wasn't mentioned, since that wasn't discovered until 1862. And it's the ingredients part of this law that most people refer to when they think of the purity law. Now, three ingredients might not seem like a lot, but there is scope within this for a lot of different tastes. Even within the scope of basic pilsners. A simple blind test of Beck's, Urquell, or original Czech Budvar will highlight this. But if this law was brought in, what ingredients were thrown out? Well, things such as fruit herbs, which are fairly common in beers, but weeds such as aniseed, myrtle, or oak leaves, ivy, which is as poisonous as you think, along with raspberries, elderberries, lavender, dandelions, bay leaves, mint, nutmeg, rose leaves, rosemary, flowers, juniper berries, and lemons. Also on the not allowed list is wheat, which will come as a surprise since there are a number of beers that still claim to be brewed to the purity laws despite being wheat beers. The purity law is no longer in use. It was dropped in 1987 when beer was treated like any other food, so that anything you can use in normal food, you can use in beer. Consequently, brewers could add fruit and herbs and anything else they wanted. This also allowed foreign beers to sell their beer in Germany as beer, since previously they couldn't import their goods because they fell foul of the purity law without any intention of really doing so. A kind of version 2.0 of the purity law was formulated in 1993 with the provisional German beer law, which allows typical ingredients such as wheat, malt and cane sugar to be used, but prohibits the use of unmalted barley. This list of must and must not ingredients has come a long way since 1516, but the Germans hold a strong tradition in their belief that their beers are the best because of the purity law. And this is all thanks to Wilhelm IV and the Ingolstadt Parliament of 1516. Cheers, guys. And now, in our occasional series on the history of breweries, we look at Young's. Young's began in 1581 during the reign of Queen Elizabeth I, where Humphrey Langridge was brewing at the Sign of the Ram in Wandsworth. Now, this was held in his family for about 90 years, with shares being passed through various people such as Somerset Draper, Thomas Dritton and Florence Young. Now, it was Florence's son, Charles Allen Young, that ultimately took control of the brewery by buying out Thomas's stake. This is when Young's became Young's. Throughout Young's rise, they continued to buy pubs, which, along with Fuller's, are probably the best two known tied houses in London and the South East. The Young family ran this business until 1962, when the company floated on the stock market. This continued until a few years ago, when the biggest change of operations came in 2004, where they joined or merged or were taken over, depending on to whom you listen, with the Wells Brewery, based out in Bedford. This means that Bombardier is now part of the Young's Wells stable, as are the traditional Young's brews, Young's Bitter, Young's Special, Directors, which was originally from Courage, and the infamous Waggle Dance. This is a honey beer which is probably drunk as much for its taste as the joy of asking for something with such a blatantly silly name. Most of their beers are available bottled. In fact, a lot of their original business back in the 1800s and early 1900s was from bottled beer as opposed to cask. Now, in addition to all their usual beers that you can buy in bottles, one of them that is unique to the bottle is Young's Double Chocolate Stout. This was something I was introduced to by some Australian friends of mine in the Founders Arms in London, and I will be forever in their debt because of it. This is a great drink for one of the last of the evening. It's strong, it has a coffee, chocolate and caramel taste with roasted everything else, and it's sweet enough to be thought of as a dessert. So, thanks Kim, thanks Jenna. Quick tastings. In this section, we give a brief yet discriminating summary of a number of different beers from around the world. All have been personally tasted and graded. Naturally, everyone has different tastes, and these are mine, so your mileage may vary. Centurion's Ghost from the York Brewery. This has won at least 3 awards that I know, so you'd expect it to be good, particularly it's been the champion of the International Dark Milds, Stouts and Porters competition. Now, it is a little hollow when you start the pint, but by the end you realise how solid and full this is. You get the warmingness, you get the dark, the bitter ale taste and the roasted malt in there as well. If you're looking for a session dark, then this is certainly one to consider. It is a grower, and by the end of the evening you will have discovered a lot of extra tastes and flavours in there that you didn't think were there at the start. The alcohol content is 5.4% and scores 8.5 out of 10. Pickled Partridge from Badger, also known as Hall and Woodhouse. This is the brewery known for the wonderfully titled Thirsty Ferret, which will be coming up on a Try Before You Die in the near future. This is 4.6% and has a dark amber or orange colour. It is a very light kind of an ale with a touch of caramel in there. Unfortunately, it's not as good as the Thirsty Ferret or the Tanglefoot, which are from the same brewery. This is one of their new releases, so hopefully they'll have a change of recipe. Otherwise, it can only get a 6 out of 10. Cherry Stout from Bartram's. This is one of the beers I managed to find at the Great British Beer Festival in 2007. Asking for what's been selling best today, they told me Cherry Stout. Now, this is very similar to Mackinson's in its consistency and has got tastes of chocolate and a slight chestnut on the side as well. It is a very sort of full in-the-mouth flavour, and the cherry is almost hidden. So, as long as you're not looking for a very cherry type of beer, this is not bad. It comes in at 4.8%, and I score it 7 out of 10. Moonraker from J.W. Lee's. This is very smooth, mild, and comes through the second hit of caramel as you're drinking it. It is dry and it holds on the palate well. It's something I'd imagine going very well with good strong food, but might be a little heavy for a session ale. This is also true if you're not too keen on sweetness, because that can come through too. It's 7.5% though, so it's quite strong, but it does score 8 out of 10. Try Before You Die. In this section of the show, we will cast a discerning eye over the best beers that this world has to offer. We shall mention its history, the brewery behind the beer, and why we feel this is a superior brew worthy of your attention. This week, Adelskot. This was the first beer to be flavoured with the peat smoked whiskey malt, so it adds a lot of extra complexity into the taste you wouldn't normally expect. As a base, Adelskot is a clear, amber-coloured lager with a small head which diminishes quickly. It has the whisky and malty nose that you would expect, but has extra fruity notes in there, along with a very sort of salmon-like aroma. The sweetness is balanced by the bitterness, so it's more likely to find favour with those that like ales than lagers or alcopops. The finish is dry and it does have some acid, but it really does coat the mouth well, with good flavour at that. Now, there isn't a lot of CO2 in this, so the consistency is closer to that of an ale rather than that of a lager. Now, this leads to the interesting question. Will whiskey drinkers shun this because it's too much like beer, and will beer drinkers shun it because it's trying to taste like whiskey? All I say is you have to try it. I've been reading some reviews of this on the net, and this is one of those Marmite kind of beers. You either love it or you hate it. I personally love it. I prefer it from the bottles than the cans because they seem to be less fizzy for some reason, so you get a smoother whiskiness to it. It's 5.8%. Fantastic. You must try before you die. Okay, that wraps it up for this week. To give us a tasting of your opinions, you can email us on thebeercrate@gmail.com. If you prefix the subject line with 2 colons, you can be sure to avoid the spam filters. Remember to enjoy everything from the Beer Crate safely and responsibly, so you can be back here with us next week. Until then, cheers. Has been released under the Creative Commons Attribution, No Commercial, No Derivatives version. See www.thebeercrate.com for details.